Pain and Pendergast. Hey, programming note, Nick Caserio, Texans Executive Vice President and GM, will join us tomorrow to help preview the upcoming season. He'll join us at 7:30 tomorrow on the show. DeMeco Ryans met with the media yesterday, and first question out of the shoot, hey, what's the latest on C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Yeah, C.J. is doing really well, progressing fine. We expect him to be ready for week one.
Hi, there you go. We got an injury update with a definitive time frame, an update on how the player is doing, and we expect to see him on Sunday.
Yeah. How hard was that?
Well,
it's easy when you're going to say
I'm just joking.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
I know you're joking. I do. The more I think about all the people getting up in arms about Joe Mixon or honestly Kyle Tucker or Yordan Alvarez or anything, it really is, Sean. I think when people get upset about the team not giving information, it's because people are going to be upset no matter what when somebody is injured and they're not playing. They're like, we as fans are like petulant children. There's no answer that's going to be satisfactory. If the Texans gave you an in-depth update on exactly what's going on with Joe Mixon, immediately it becomes, I can't believe they're handling it this way medically. These idiots, how did they not know that it was going to be a problem? Same way it was with the Astros. There's no information at all. People are agitated. Then they get information, and you're going to blame the medical staff. So the team's going to get criticism no matter what. I feel like just playing it close to the vest, aside from, you know, they'll say that they're protecting the players and everything. Yeah, great. Go hug a sleeping pillow or something. It's just, they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. Yeah. So playing it close to the vest is probably the right strategy. It's just that people are always going to be upset about it.
So C.J. Gardner-Johnson plays on Sunday. That's big. They need him on Sunday.
Huge.
Yeah.
That's really, really big.
Yeah.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson's injury kind of was a reminder that, okay, as good as the secondary is and looks on paper, man, there's just not a lot of depth that you feel great about right now. And that's, I think, the thing to monitor all season long, obviously, is, A, you know, there's still a chance that they make a move for depth in the secondary at some point. And B, they just simply have to stay healthy. They're not allowed to get injured. C.J. Gardner-Johnson's injury was the last allowed injury.
He's probably chomping at the bit too, because he didn't get to participate in either of the joint practices.
Yeah.
Which he loves those. You know, we know from that interview that he did. He loves the joint practices, and he didn't get a chance to. You know, I would imagine he'd have played a couple of series in at least one of the games. Like he's probably ready to go hit somebody.
The only thing I'd worry about is that he's just champing at the bit so much that he ends up with a penalty or 15, something.
He's ready to go get a 15-yard penalty, Yeah.
I know he's matured a lot. He's talked about how he has to learn when to dial it back and when not to go all in and not be full C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But it's hard. That first time out, last time he played football, he was winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then he has to just sit back. He gets shuttled off to Houston, and now he's going to be wanting to prove himself.
It is pretty. I mean, you and I were both there when this injury happened. There weren't that many people that put eyes on this injury because it happened at the last day at the Greenbrier. If someone had told you just the scene that you and I were witnessing that day, that guy would be back for week one, I would have been like, no.
I know. It was very, very quiet. Part of it because it was, you know, there were no fans there or anything, and it was just such
it was super quiet.
You're out there in that rural setting out there. It feels like a high school practice in a lot of ways.
Yep.
And that everything was just so quiet.
Yep.
And then you had the erroneous report that he tore his ACL, which made sense. You know, given the circumstances, it seemed like, oh, okay, I'm not surprised that he reportedly tore his ACL.
No, the way he was getting helped off the cart and helped into the building, it looked like a really severe injury. So this is great news.
There is a little bit of like, I honestly know this is callous and I'm a jerk for this and all that, but it used to be the only time people really just stopped practice even was if it was a spinal injury or something, you know, and other than that, it was kind of it's an orthopedic issue. We'll find out later how he did. Let's go.
It sounds to me you would have been more satisfied if they just kept playing and stepping over him while he was out on the field.
You know, Nick Saban got all that guff for stepping over the injured player. I was kind of like, I don't know, maybe I was just raised up in a different football environment. I was kind of like, well, what'd you expect him to do?
I think that's it.
You had to get over to a drill.
You were raised in a different football. You're not a jerk. This is what you were brought up in. Can't blame you.
Yeah.
This is nature versus nurture.
There's work to be done.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's about the work.
Does the injured guy on the field need to make it all about him? There's 52 other guys out there that are trying to win a football game.
Scrape him up and get him out of here. We got
work
to do.
If it's not a spinal, then just let's get going.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I love that. All right. Are you with us or are you against us? That's the question I have to all these national people. So far, best I can tell, Orlovsky, definitely with the Texans, and C.J. Stroud. Albert Breer, 100% on the Texans bandwagon.
Is he?
Yes, it would appear, from what he says publicly at least. I trust Albert Breer.
I don't pay attention to him much unless he just comes across my...
I only pay attention to him when he's on our side, and he's on our side right now.
Okay.
Phil Simms, what was this from, Seth? What was
this
Phil
Simms? This was from the Believe in Giants podcast, okay. And somebody sent it to me yesterday. This is Phil Simms when asked by Carl Banks, another Giants great.
Giants great linebacker.
About whether C.J. Stroud needs to have a bounce back here.
O-line was average. Pass protection scheme was awful. Everybody knew by the formations and everything what they were what to do against their offensive line and the system. And that's why it just fell apart. Man, Houston, their defense is so fast, it's scary. Secondary is really good. And we'll see how the offensive line, they got to fit. Quarterbacks that don't get time to throw are not going to play great.
Yeah, the very obvious statement there at the end, but it's I think sometimes we hesitate to just make it that simple, and yet everything you said at the beginning was true last year, that teams were starting to really, especially in the first half of the season, had a really good beat on how the Texans were going to pass protect, what Bobby Slowick was going to do. The play calling became, I think by virtue of, I know people always claim that the play calling is more predictable than it is. I try to be careful about that, except that it was clear to me that there were defenses that were dialed into exactly what was coming frequently or had a really good feel for the tendencies. And all of those things are true. It's, it's sometimes too easy to just point to the offensive coordinator and make him the boogeyman that was responsible for everything. But Bobby Slowick is responsible for a lot of it. The thing that I kind of chuckled at when Sim started off was he said the O-line was average. And I'm like, oh, boy, that's an understatement. But then he basically was saying, the O-line was average. The scheme was really bad.
Oh, yeah.
And you got
the
absolute worst out of that offensive line because of it.
Yep. So Sims on our side. We like for purposes of 2025. We like Phil Sims.
He likes the defense, and he's making some excuses for C.J. Leather.
Are you
justifiable excuses?
Are you more excited to watch this defense on Sunday, or excited to see what the newfangled offense looks like?
I'm excited to watch the defense. I've got nervous anticipation about watching the offense.
That's a better way to put it. I'm intrigued by the offense. I'm excited about the defense.
Yeah. That's Joe Mixon would make me feel a hell of a lot better. I feel better about Nick Chubb right now than I did at the beginning of training camp.
Yeah.
But again, just don't watch any Joe Mixon highlights this week, everybody. Don't do it to yourself, because I did it and I wish I hadn't, because he just, that's a different caliber of athlete than you're seeing out of any of the running backs right now, including Woody Marks, just because of the size difference. Woody Marks is the guy that I'm most excited about. And I think maybe the rookie on the team that's the least talked about nationally, but that might have the biggest impact in the first few games, at least at the skill level positions or on the defensive side of the ball. Arianti Ursary is the other. Arianti Ursary will have a huge impact on the game just by virtue of him at least having a plan to start every snap in week one.
Yeah, being out
there. Woody Marks might be the most eye-popping one.
Yeah, that's I love Woody Marks. I've loved how he's looked throughout training camp. You know what's Seth, this may not cure your Mixon anxiety, but maybe it'll serve as like an Advil or something like that. I walked into my local watering hole yesterday afternoon, and ESPN was on the TV, and they were talking fantasy, and they showed all five of Nick Chubb's carries in the Carolina game. And it looks pretty good. Those five carries. Now, it's the only five carries he got against another NFL team all preseason, but that's what Advil is. It'll cure me for a couple of hours.
The worst rushing defense in the league last year.
I wasn't saying that. I'm going, look at Nick Chubb. Look at Nick Chubb. Yeah.
It was the nice thing about Nick Chubb's performance in the preseason game was that it was a really steady 5 yards per carry.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah.
I think his shortest run was 2 yards. He had another short run that was for a first down.
Yeah.
So that doesn't even, I don't worry about that. If you're getting the, if it's 2.5 or 3 yards, but you get a first down, that's
successful
what really matters.
Play. Yeah. Yeah, it's a successful play.
But he had 5 carries for 25 yards and without a huge breakout run, but also with no negative runs.
Yeah, the
Texans
long...
last year were the third worst in terms of run stuffs.
Yeah.
When they got stuffed at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. I don't think that's going to be as big of an issue this
year. Okay, so you love you some Woody Marks. I love me some Woody Marks. Why the hell is he fourth on the depth chart then right now? The
unofficial depth chart.
It's out, yeah. It says unofficial at the top. It's the unofficial depth chart. But he's fourth on the – he's fourth. And this is not a rookie punishment trend because Jaden Higgins and Ariante Ursary are both first string with the squad now.
Will Kunkel had tweeted this out, and his question was something along the lines of thoughts.
Yeah.
Asking for thoughts. I would say the three most common replies from the people who replied to his post were disgruntled that Woody Marks was fourth instead of second. They didn't feel like Damian Pierce had earned being second, whatever. I don't think, when it comes to the running backs, this is going to be genuinely running back by committee. And I think there's a really good chance that Woody Marks ends up having the most touches per game over these first three games, when you include receptions.
He will be the second running back to touch the football for the Texans in this game on Sunday. I feel strongly about that. Nick Chubb will be first, and Woody Marks will be second. I feel strongly about that.
The second most common observation or thought about this unofficial depth chart was surprise or just eyebrows raised that Higgins was starting over Hutchinson.
Yep.
I think because Hutchinson had a very productive preseason, and Higgins had some nice plays, but it just seemed like you were hearing and seeing Hutchinson more and more. I'm curious about this. I wonder how exactly it'll all play out because this is the unofficial depth chart.
Yeah.
I feel like Hutchinson... he just might be in line to be that latest example of a guy that looks really good during training camp, but ultimately he's kind of capped by his actual physical skill set.
Yeah.
With Jaden Higgins has a really exciting upside.
Yeah, he's freaky. Jaden Higgins is freaky.
Yeah, like where can we get yardage and chunks and who can break tackles and do all those things? I think they still look at Jaden Higgins as the guy that
I think they both factor in probably almost equally at this point,
The third most common reply was some comment about the depth in the secondary being some word that I can't say because of the damned FAA, the jackbooted thugs at the FAA, or not the FAA, the FCC.
FCC, yep. Yeah.
The FAA I've got my own set of issues with.
I knew the FAA would end up taking
unjustly
some.
Flagged at security.
So people just don't like the guys that are backups in the secondary right now?
Well, yeah. I mean, you and I have already mentioned that we don't like the guys.
That's
the backup. We don't feel awesome about the depth in the secondary.
Right. Yeah, Tremont Smith, Jalen Smith. I like Jalen. I thought Jalen Smith. He's a rookie. I thought Jalen Smith was fine. And MJ Stewart is a journeyman. I'm surprised there's still only 8 defensive backs on the team. I thought they might have made a move back there. They did bring D'Angelo Ross back on the practice squad, and they can elevate 2 guys on game day. So if I had to guess, Seth, that just based on depth of position, they've only got 2 tight ends, they've only got 8 defensive backs. If I had to guess on game day, if they're bringing 2 guys up off the practice squad, it'll be a defensive back and maybe Luke Lachey or somebody like that, you know?
You know, journeyman's kind of a generic term for a guy that's, okay, I'm like a replacement level player or what have you.
Yeah.
But it does, like the name journeyman sounds like a guy who travels around a lot. It's worth noting that MJ Stewart's entering his 4th season with the Texans. You know? He's been here, you look up and all of a sudden he's been here a while.
Yep.
And I think there's just a trust factor with him. I don't mind MJ Stewart being part of the depth in the secondary. Yes, he's not as good as a starter, but it makes him an affordable guy that can plug into the system. I'd like to see him improve on some of the things from last year because he, as well as some of the starters, were responsible for some of those big chunk plays.
Yeah,
it's just hoping one more year in D'Amico's system is going to allay some of that.
I understand people maybe wanting better players than those guys. This is what depth looks like in the NFL. Like, I don't know what people are upset about. Like, it's Tremont Smith, a rookie, a third-round rookie, and MJ Stewart, who you just said the team trusts back there. Like, you're not going to have all pros as your 5th, 6th, and 7th guys in the secondary.
I'll tell you what, if you want to look at a team that has way more things to worry about than us, it's the Buffalo Bills in their secondary.
What's going on there?
They tried to bolster it somewhat in the offseason because, you know, their defense has been an issue in the playoffs.
Yes.
The Hairston, the rookie, he's injured. He's on the IR designated to return.
Get some off-field trouble, too.
Tre'Davious White has some kind of a lower body injury. Had an ACL. He's had an ACL and an Achilles in recent years.
Yeah.
And the safety, the safeties are banged up and in question. They don't even know exactly who their starting secondary is. They just signed Jordan Poyer back.
They brought old man Poyer back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, it's a good point you make about, man, nobody – very, very few teams, other than maybe the Chiefs at any given time, feel really good about the depth in their secondary. The Chiefs just do an incredible job training those guys and getting the absolute best out of them. So I think maybe going into the third year of this staff, they've done a really good job developing young cornerbacks. You got to hope that that's what they can do with Jalen Smith.
Yes.
And that's part of it. That just like last year, remember everybody was all upset about how we don't have any good safeties. Why didn't you go out and get Simmons or this guy or that guy? Oh, it turns out they really like Kalen Bullock. And Kalen Bullock developed, now people are really excited about him. So likewise with Jalen Smith, hopefully that defensive coaching staff continues to do a good job developing the young guys.
The last one real quick, Henry Toa still first string over Christian Harris, caught some people's eyes, but Toa Toa's just been more reliable than Christian Harris, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know if you had watched the third preseason game, there was nothing that Christian Harris did where I thought, oh, wow, yeah, boy, that's an upgrade over Toa Toa.
I'm totally with you, yeah.
It looked like Harris was just still getting his feet wet and trying to get back into his true form. He didn't look like the best version of Christian Harris.
100%. I agree with you on that. All right. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Headlines up next. Astros win. We'll get you updated on the divisional race going on right now in the AL West. We've got Texans injury updates. We've got updates on things going on around the NFL and a college football game last night that if you're a hater, it was a nice night for you. We'll have that for you coming up next.